May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the New Revised Standard Version, this psalm is captioned, "Doing the Will of God." I cannot think of a more important topic than doing the will of God. Well, it seems that much Christian airtime or bandwidth or however you want to categorize it is filled with talk about salvation. Frankly, that is only the beginning. More than 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ accomplished our salvation by living, dying, and rising from the dead for us. Nothing we can do can add to that. We cannot earn our own salvation. It is the free gift of God through Jesus Christ. That being said, the Christian life is all about responding to the grace of God. In gratitude for God's love and grace demonstrated by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we seek to live lives in conformity with the will of God. Living according to the will of God is not onerous, unpleasant, or solemn. It is the joyous life we were created to live. It is a life in relationship with God who first loved us. It is a life enjoying the gifts of God who understands us better than we understand ourselves. It is, as the psalmist says, a happy life. Quote, "Happy are those who make the Lord their trust," end quote. Put another way, the chief end or purpose of humanity is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That is the response to the very first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. The natural follow-up is, how do we do that? The second question addresses that by telling us, quote, "The Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures in the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him." So put another way, we know the will of God by turning our hearts and minds in worship, hearing and learning the Word of God written in Scripture, proclaimed through preaching, taught through Bible study, and most perfectly demonstrated to us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We don't like to talk about sin, but sin is defined as any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. That is, any time we stray from the will of God, which is expressed in the law of God, sin is when we do something contrary to the law of God. Sin is when we do not do something required by the law of God. By avoiding sin, we avoid straying from the will of God. The Jewish approach to avoiding this sin was to fence the law with 613 mitzvot, or rules, that it kept, that if kept, would keep the believer from violating God's prohibitions and keep the believer within the will of God. Jesus gave us a guideline that's easier to understand, if not easier to keep. In Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And then Jesus says, "All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. End quote. Jesus demonstrated in the Sermon on the Mount that the commandments to love would exceed even the rules of the mitzvot. Jesus said his aim was not to abolish the rules of the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. By studying the life of Christ and his teachings, we learn how the perfect expression of God's love lived on earth, and we learn how to follow the will of God. Recently, I heard a sermon preached by Nadia Bolz Weber, inspired by the wise men. On this second Sunday after Epiphany, I guess it's not too late to think about the wise men who followed the star to visit Jesus, particularly since they probably saw Jesus when he was around 2 years old. Anyway, Nadia points out that the wise men had the light of the star to guide them to Jesus, but they did not have the star to guide them home. In fact, they took another way home to avoid King Herod, who they were told wanted to harm Jesus. So what guided them home? Nadia uses the term phosphorescence. She says this: phosphorescence, in case like me, you forget, works like this. The energy goes in quietly. The transformation happens unseen. And only later, often much later, does the light begin to show. But it's only visible in the dark, which is frustrating, frankly, for those of us who prefer immediate results or visual proof. I think maybe the Magi carried the light of Christ within them because they'd been close enough for it to soak in. And that is what lit their path. Nadia goes on to tell us that we do not have to manufacture our own light for living. Through worship, over time, we absorb the light of God. Nadia says this: but the life of faith operates within a different order of reality. You do not, in fact, have to create, muster, manufacture, or maintain your own light. I promise you have been absorbing enough of it for long enough for it to shine through. You have been absorbing God's light all along. Even when you don't believe it, even when you aren't paying attention, even when you are phoning it in, even when your pious is all get out. Because that is just what gently happens when we get to do things like baptize babies while renouncing evil in the process. This is what quietly happens when we light candles and say prayers and read scripture aloud and sing hymns, and when we really don't feel it. Maybe you don't have to. In fact, I wonder if manufacturing our own brightness can obscure a gentler light that God has provided for the path ahead. And so when things get dark, and they will, the light of God's word shines enough to be a lamp unto our feet. Stumbling maybe, dancing sometimes, but always the next step is lit. Not because you have made yourself dazzling, but because the light has already found you. All I know is that in Christ, in prayer, in word, in sacrament, we have quietly, unsuspectingly been absorbing everything we need to phosphorescently light the path before us, wherever that leads. So how do we follow the will of God in a world that seems so dark? We glorify God through worship, allowing the light of God to soak into us and become part of us. We study and listen to the Word of God that it might become a light unto our feet. We love the God who first loved us and love those whom God loves, because keeping God's commandments to love expresses the will of God in this world. May it be so. Amen.